The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Winnipeg, my first time headed your way. I'll be there Friday, March 1st and Saturday, March 2nd. Omaha, we're going to do it this time. I promise you, last time we got our flights canceled. This time, we're taking a straight shot. I'll be there Friday, March 29th and Saturday, March 30th. Columbus, Ohio, I'm fired up to head your way. Never been there. My first time coming to your beautiful city. I'll be there Friday, April 12th and Saturday, April 13th. Los Angeles, I'm excited to announce that I'm part of the Netflix is a Joke Festival. I have my own show Sunday, May 12th at the Bourbon Room. You guys ask me, how come you're not on Netflix? Well, here's a chance to sell this thing out and show them why I should be. Get your tickets now. Don't wait. All tickets available at RyanSickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We are over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I'm starting this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you. However you support what I do, however it is, whether it's from stand-up, the podcast, whatever, thank you. Thank you very much for every single thing you guys do. You make my life. This is it. I love my job, and I love, you know, bringing you guys content. So if you got to have more, you got to check out the Patreon. Listen, it's still $5 a month. I haven't raised that price since the day we started years ago. And it's your show. It's the Honeydew with y'all. And it's this show with y'all. And I promise you, you're not going to hear any of these stories anywhere else. For $5 a month, it's insane. All right. And the way back. We got a brand new show, premiered the first 2 weeks, number one in comedy interviews. Thank you so much for that. We still got it going. The guests you see here on The Do, we try to get them all over there as well, share different fun stories about just growing up. Here we like to highlight lowlights. Over there, we like to actually highlight highlights, for God's sake. Come see me on tour. All tickets are available at RyanSickler.com. Now, that's the biz. You guys know what we're doing over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers, and I am very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, Brad Williams.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, Brad Williams. Thank you for having me, Ryan. There are a few people in this business that when I see their face and certainly hear their voice, I'm just happier.
That's nice.
And you are one of those people.
I was hoping you'd say you are not one
you
of those.
You are not one of those people. That is Bert Kreischer. That is, I see him, I'm happy, I see you, I'm just like,
but it's still good to be.
Crap, now the Ravens are good, so he's going to be talking all the shit. Asshole.
Oh, I don't want to bring up the Mount Hiya Miracle, so we won't. But that's what we call it. I don't know what you call it, never. But in Baltimore, no, we call it the Mount Hiya Miracle.
We call it the Raheem Effin' Moore game. I can curse, right? It's the Raheem fucking Moore game. And I know where I was when I was watching it. I was on stage at Tommy T's. Do you ever play Tommy T's?
No, but I know Tommy T's.
Tommy T's in Pleasanton. I don't even know if it's still open, but if it is, go there.
It's a great club. Pleasanton, between the bedroom East community. Bay. Yeah, I have done Tommy T's.
East Bay. Mm-hmm. When they say the Bay Area, no.
I was thinking Rooster T Feathers. Nah, there's a couple T's up in that area.
A couple T's up there. Tommy T's. I'm on stage. This is during the game. I'm a massive Broncos fan. And then I got to go on stage and do it. So I wasn't selling tickets back then. So the back was empty. So they closed the curtain, but they kept it just open wide enough. No. So they had a TV on in the back. And I'm on stage, Ryan Sickler. I'm watching the game and I can see it. I'm like, oh, we're good. And I got a little pep in my step on stage, still doing my joke, still doing all right. Fucking Raheem effing Moore doesn't get back. Flacco bombs it. Who got that ball?
Jacoby Jones.
Jacoby Jones catches it. And on stage, no context, you just hear me go, fuck!
It's like 15.
Everyone's just looking at me like, did we just, for the first time in human history, see someone get Tourette's?
Your origin Tourette story.
We acquired Tourette's. I don't know how. I forget what joke I was telling, but I just remember just yelling the F word as loud as I could.
I was yelling the other way, brother.
Oh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine that joy. The joy I have in comparison to that as a Broncos fan is the Tebow 316 game, which we can bond over because at least it hurt the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It did.
So you're a fan of that. And that was Tebow to Demaryius Thomas, first play of overtime, RIP Demaryius Thomas, and he runs in, touchdown. We're going on to lose to Tom Brady. All right.
A lot of people did, though.
A lot of us did. It's okay.
Well, it is so good to have you here. Yeah, I know what we're going to talk about, so this one's going to be emotionally charged for sure. But before we do, please promote everything and anything you would like.
So here's all the promotional stuff. I'm going on a big tour in 2024. It's called Tour 24, over 70 cities. We're not even done announcing yet. March 15th, there's going to be a big announcement with some international dates and some more dates. BradWilliamsComedy.com. I need this right now.
Get it. Mm.
Delightful. So yeah, going all over the country, over 70 cities. We're doing theaters now. Some big ones are the theater at the Ace Hotel in Los Angeles on February 10th. We're doing the Ryman Auditorium, the home of country music.
Yeah.
That's going to be in Nashville. I believe that's in October. Just some big dates. So BradWilliamsComedy.com. And then if you want to watch my brand new comedy special, go to Veeps.com, V-E-E-P-S. And then you're like, Brad, I don't want to subscribe to anything else. You don't have to subscribe. It's fine. You can go on there. There's all these concerts. You can watch a...
Is that right?
Yeah. You can watch a concert by Alicia Keys, Billy Idol, Imagine Dragons, and watch a comedy special.
Billy Idol still doing his thing?
Hell yeah, Billy Idol still doing his thing.
Billy Idol, I want you on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Idol, I want you on this podcast. I'm a huge fan.
Still killing it.
I fucking love Billy Idol.
They gave me a Veeps pass so I can watch all the concerts. I watched the Billy Idol concert.
Billy Idol.
Killing it.
Let's do the do, baby.
So go to Veeps.com. The special is called Starfish. It's different hour than you'll hear if you go see me on tour. So, go watch that special. I'm really proud of it. And it came out on December 21st. Why did we choose that date, Ryan Sickler? Why? Because that's the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. Marketing! Look at that marketing! Coca-Cola wishes they had that kind of brand recognition. Shortest day of the year? That is Brad Williams Day.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch Brad Williams' special, support.
Yeah. See me on tour. Do the whole thing.
Look, I say I love my job, and I do love my job. I really enjoy like sitting down with the people that make us laugh the hardest. And because we don't really get to talk about everything. We see each other. It's a very solo sport.
Mm-hmm.
We see each other if there's a festival or we see each other if we're on the same lineup in town. And you get a few minutes with everybody because they have lives. I just got here 20 mm-hmm. minutes ago. I got kids. I got a sitter. I got to bounce right after this. Right. And maybe I'm doing the improv and I'm out of here. I got to go. So to sit here and get to really learn who people are is one of my favorite things. And I've known you for a long time. Yeah. We've had some great private conversations.
Absolutely.
You've become a dad as I have mm-hmm. through this wild game. But your dad is someone we're going to talk about right now because he passed just not too long ago.
Yeah, less than 2 years ago, May 9th, 2022. And
Can I stop you there just for mm-hmm. a sec before we talk about that?
Sure.
Let's talk about the man. Like, tell us your dad. Like, who was he? Where is he from?
Yep. Dad was born in Houston, Texas. Grew up the son of a Shell oil executive. So,
really?
Yeah. So, you know how like people talk about, oh, I struggled growing up. Nah. Not me.
That's the end of this episode.
I didn't struggle growing up.
Shell, when you said it first, I was thinking to myself, like, shout out. I'm like, oh, the Shell? Yeah, the yellow Shell? Yeah,
the Shell.
Where I go to get my gas?
Yeah, that one.
So his grandfather's a...
No, his dad. His dad.
Oh, your grandfather.
My grandfather. Good old Bapa.
Was a Shell oil exec? Or oil in the oil family money?
Exec. So not family money. So okay. Just... Now, you would never know that we were really doing okay because my dad liked to hide it. Like
how?
We had a good house. Don't get me wrong. Great house, great neighborhood, all that.
Houston? Were you in Houston at first?
No. He moved around, but he and my mom met in L.A. and we were in Orange County, California.
Okay.
Grew up in Orange County. And so one way that he would hide it is we had air conditioning, but we were not allowed to run that shit.
And he made enough money too. That's it. Yeah.
Because it was expensive. That's what he would always tell us. Like, you know how much. Now, my dad loved to play golf. He played golf is a vast understatement. We knew as kids, is your game on Saturday? Dad's not going to be there because that's his golf game. Okay. So that's his day. Now, if your game's on Sunday, dad'll be there. He's gonna be cheering the loudest. He'll bring snacks. He'll be cracking jokes. It's gonna be great.
Saturday's Dad's Day.
Saturday is Dad's Day. So yeah. And so
how many kids did your dad have?
Me and my sister.
Okay.
So we're Beaver Cleaver House, mom, dad,
can I ask
brother,
you,
sister.
Because it's so I think it's subjective. What is you say you had a nice house. Tell us about the house.
House.
Two story, how many bedroom, like what, garage, backyard, what we talking about?
Technically three.
Three bedrooms?
Three story. Oh,
why you say technically?
Because they call it tri-level.
Okay.
But it's like, yeah. But there's...
But no basement out here, right? You got the ground floor,
no basement.
You go up.
Ground floor, living room, we call it the utility room. It's basically laundry room, kitchen, dining room. Second floor, you go up one flight of stairs. Dad's office, family room, which we called the Christmas room because we never went in that fucker unless it was Christmas.
This is the shit I like to hear because I did not grow up. Like, we had a house where we started. Yeah. It was nice, and it all went to shit quick. And I'm like, we did not have a room that was not occupied in some fucking way. You know what I mean? Every room was occupied.
It blew my mind, and especially now that I'm older and I got a house, and it's like... I use every room in that motherfucker. Every room has a purpose. I don't see it. Like, it was a nice room.
Was it like, I know some people would have a sitting room. So when a company come over, they do tea or whatever. Yes. Is it sort of that type
kinda,
of thing?
Yeah.
But you guys just used it for Christmas.
Christmas.
That's where Christmas happened.
Tree went up. That's where you knew that you were good to go.
There,
just in there.
Christmas over here.
I was in that room one day a year. Christmas Day.
For only a couple hours, too. A
couple hours. Stockings were in a different room, so you had to go to the other room.
Where's Easter? Easter's down the hall. Easter's down the hall, guy.
Nah, don't go to the Valentine's room. There's some kinky shit in there. But yeah, and then you go up flight of stairs.
That is money, just to have a Christmas room. Yeah. That's enough said right there.
Yeah. Then you go upstairs, and you had the four bedrooms. Parents' room, my room, sister's room, guest room.
Okay.
So yeah, good, nice backyard. We had a pool.
I'm not even going to ask because I know everybody out here is in ground. Where I grew up, everybody was above ground.
We're in ground.
In ground. Do you have a fence? You got a fence? Well, you have a pool, so you got to perimeter it off. All right.
Yeah.
You have a garage?
Yeah, had a garage.
Yeah, you had it all out there.
It was great.
Man. All right.
Had a wonderful, wonderful childhood. If you hear me complaining about my childhood one time, I'm drunk, slap me and say, Brad, shut the hell up.
And so you had a good dad then?
Great dad. Great, fantastic father.
And your mom and dad were together and everything?
Good. Yep, stayed together.
So you had a great family upbringing.
It was good. I got no problem. Orange County, California, mom and dad together. Honestly, I'm the black sheep of the family because they're all white, Anglo, tall, and then they got the midget kid, and I'm the only weird one in the family. Yeah, I'm the little sheep of the family. Yeah, but my whole family's average size, tall. To give you an idea of who my dad was, is when they found out that I was going to be a little person.
Can I ask you real quick?
Yeah.
Were you the oldest? Who was born first?
I was the baby in the family.
Okay. So they already had your daughter your sister who was normal size.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then 15 months later, boom, here comes Brad. As I was told a few times, conceived at a bed and breakfast in Santa Barbara, California.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's what shell execs do, bro.
Yeah.
not a Motel 6.
No, no. And so we have a piece of furniture that was in the house growing up. And one day my sister was like, it's called like a hutch or something. Mm-hmm. My sister was like, hey, when I move out, I think I'm going to take that hutch. That's a really nice piece of furniture. And my mom and dad looked at each other and went, I think Brad gets the hutch. And we both kind of like saw it. We're like, what? Why do I get the hutch? I've never mentioned it. It's not like I've got fond memory. Wait, what? Why do I get it? They're like, well, Brad, you were conceived on that hutch.
No. On it.
Off it.
Not up against it. It's so visual, dude.
It's so visual. And you know what? Sickler.
On it, bro.
It's a nice piece of furniture. I'll be damned if that hutch ain't in my house right now. It is. It's there. It's in the dining room.
It's the reason you exist. It's the reason I exist. It should be. That's the goddamn heirloom of heirlooms.
Yeah, it's my origin story. I stare at that thing every night at dinner. When they found out I was going to be a little person, my dad started going to these LPA meetings. LPA stands for Little People of America. And he would go to meetings because he knew that I was going to be a dwarf. So he wanted to like get a little – and he would sit in the back and he would just listen. He wouldn't talk. He would just listen. And the story goes that he went to three. And the first two, everyone was just – bitching the whole time. All the little people, they were just like, this part sucks, this sucks, this sucks. Finally, the third meeting, he's listening to him bitch some more. This sucks, this sucks. And my dad stands up and goes, all right. He goes, I've been here three times. You guys have been bitching about everything. Like, everything sucks. My son is about to be born. We know he's a little person. Is anything good? Is there anything good? And one little person goes, yeah, everybody remembers you. And my dad stops and goes, okay, that's something I got. And everybody remembers you. And it's kind of poetic that now I'm a comedian and we're living in a time where eyeballs are the number one currency. And but no one ever, when I get off stage, no one ever goes, who is the guy? He went on last. The white guy. No one says that. Everyone goes like, yeah, fucking midget. That dude was funny as hell. So I've got, if you Google dwarf comedian, midget comedian, I'm pretty sure my photo is going to pop up. So it is true. Everybody remembers you. And I played sports growing up. My dad, and then I've told versions of this story on different podcasts, so I'll keep it brief. My dad, knowing that I was going to be a little person, and that I am a little person, he knew I would be bullied in school. He knew that, had that knowledge. So his philosophy was, I'm going to bully this kid first when he's like 3 or 4 or 5 years old. But he would bully me, but then he would do it in a way where like he'd make fun of me, but then say, okay, now I just said something to you. Hit me back. Hit me back with something. So I'd be like, oh, okay. And it became a game. And he and I would write comebacks together.
Mm.
So when I got to school, and some poor kid saw me as fresh meat, was like, I'm going to make fun of that. Oh, that kid was in trouble. Oh, that kid got it. Because they would come up and be like, look at the little midget, whatever. And then I would just, boom, 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 comebacks. And I got sent to the principal's office my very first day of school.
Did you really?
Yeah, because the kid said, ha ha, you're little. And I respond with, ha ha, your mom doesn't live with your dad anymore.
My family's bigger than yours, motherfucker.
My family got love. Your family got child support payments? Fuck off. Like, and
can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was there ever a time Brad Williams was the big kid?
Like first grade, were you bigger than the kid? You know what I mean? Did you ever have your day?
I was never the big kid.
Kindergarten, you were like here like I'm stopping at this height, but I'm motherfucker, I'm the big kid.
No, no one was bigger than Eddie Gonzalez, man. Eddie Gonzalez was in kindergarten. You ever have the guy like now that I'm older and I look back, I think this one family, I think the Gonzalez family moved from the Dominican or something like that. And Eddie may have been 12. I don't know. But he was in kindergarten. He would drink a full glass Gatorade every day. Like
glass,
the, like,
I remember.
Remember the pop-top? Yeah, the pop-top glass Gatorades.
It was only
one flavor.
It was only
lemon lime.
Yeah,
that was it.
That's it.
And he would drink one of those every day. No.
In kindergarten.
This dude. I don't know what ever became of Eddie. I imagine he's lifting something heavy. He's lifting something heavy. That's what he's doing.
All right. So you were never, ever had your moment one second as the big kid. Okay.
Never the big
kid. I always wondered that. I'm like, well, did you shoot up quick first and then level off? Like, I don't know how it works. Any of it works.
Here's how I never was the big kid. And my mom.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Held me back from starting school, and I was a year older than every kid because she's like, well, he'll get a little bit bigger and then he'll be more. Mom, dwarfism. I'm not getting bigger. Not getting bigger. So
what age did you stop growing?
Oh, man.
Tall.
Unfortunately,
we all put pounds on.
Yeah. So it was like, I was in like, you know, like freshman, sophomore year of high school, because I grew just very, like, not fast at all. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like freshman year of high school, I got to 4'4", and that is where I have stayed.
That's the cap.
Yeah, that's where I stayed. I've seen some dwarves topping out at 4'6", and God bless them. But, yeah, I'm 4'4". Now, out of all the things my dad did right, and he did a lot right, one thing that I make fun of him for is that when I was born left-handed, okay? Mm-hmm. And my dad saw that and was like, his life's going to be pretty hard as a lefty. Let's switch him to right. So he, like, essentially forced me to become right-handed. He and my mom would, like, make me grab everything with my right hand. And I didn't know what that did. I didn't, until I watched the movie The King's Speech, and then I found out, oh, when you switch a kid their dexterity, a lot of times the side effect is that they develop a stutter.
No. Is that right?
Yep. I had a horrible stutter when I was a kid. Oh, all no. Because my dad was like, kids are going to make fun of him for being a lefty. I'm like, Dad.
Who gives a shit?
They got more.
Yeah.
No kid looking to bully me is going to see me pick something up with my left hand and be like, that's what we got.
Forget the stutter. Yeah, look how he uses that left hand.
Yeah, yeah. Forget the stutter. Forget his dwarfism. We got
they're going to kill you.
Lefty. Let's fuck him up. No. So, yeah, that was the only thing he really got wrong. But everything else, man, we would take family vacations together. Dad was funny. Dad was funny. I remember him just being funny. We would, one of the hardest I ever laughed was my mom was really proud. She got this new, new recipe for mashed potatoes. And she's like, I'm going to, because my mom, God bless her, she tried, not the best cook, tried. She's like, I'm going to do it. Not good. But one day she's like, I got this new recipe for mashed potatoes. I'm going to knock this out of the park. Apparently some other woman used it and it was great. She's like, this is going to be good. Tells us all, I'm making the best dinner. I'm making fresh mashed potatoes. It's going to be awesome.
Making me hungry, man.
I know, right? My dad comes home. It's been a long day for him. Now, his father was the oil guy. My dad was a lawyer. Okay. He was a public defender for a while and then a defense attorney. So he comes home. He's had a long day. And we could tell. Sometimes you just knew dad had a long day. And he comes in, and we got dinner right in front of us. And my mom's looking at the mashed potatoes, like, try the mashed potatoes. And my dad just goes, whew, I'm tired. Boom! Face plants into the mashed potatoes. Taters are flying everywhere. Kids are laughing.
Her new recipe.
And my mom is, Pete! Pete, just so mad.
You still remember it.
Yeah. And that just made me laugh so hard. So I remember stuff like that. I remember him showing me comedy. I remember him showing me the Smothers Brothers. Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Tommy. I think Tommy just left us.
I don't know.
Tommy Smothers.
I remember they were both gone.
Yeah. I remember him showing me Jonathan Winters, mm-hmm. master of improvisation. I still know the clip. He's on the Tonight Show before Carson, and someone hands him a stick and goes, "Hey, he can improvise. Here, hand him a stick." Some talking like that old time, like, "Hey, hand him a stick. He can do anything with it." And then he just Jonathan Winters takes a stick. He starts fishing. He starts tap dancing. Like he's just with a stick, just improvising. Laughed my tail off. My dad laughed. We'd watch clips of Carson and stuff, like they would do like Time Life, whatever. 50 greatest Johnny
that
Carson.
Karnak shit. I love. Oh, I still love it.
So good.
Holding it up to his head. Yeah, so good.
The first one ever, the first Johnny Carson Tonight Show ever. He has an axe thrower on to like show how he can throw axes. Have you seen this clip?
I don't think I have.
This is Johnny Carson's first episode. Episode one, he has an axe thrower on. The guy's like, and they have a cardboard, like a wood outline of a man. And they're like, all right, show us how you could throw the axe and hit him in the head or do whatever. The guy goes, all right, so this is what you do. You line it up and he throws. And on live TV in the 50s, I believe, might have been the 60s, maybe, whatever. Live TV, axe hits the guy right in the dick.
Nah, I'm going to look for this clip.
It's great. Everyone in the audience is laughing. Hysterically, and Carson, that's why he was a master, just milks it, just like, well, and just milks it. And because he's milking it, the laugh goes down, then goes back up, goes back down, then goes back up. Then Carson finally looks at the axe thrower and goes, huh, I didn't know you were Jewish. Kills. Kills. So we watch all that stuff. My dad taught me how to play golf, and I like playing golf because if I could play golf, I get to hang out with him. It's because, you know.
And now you got Saturday back.
Now I got Saturday back because I can go play. Like, he would play with his regular round, but then he'd stay and play another round
with
me.
That's interesting. So would you just be the one kid? Did your sister golf?
Mm-hmm.
She did, too. We figured it out.
Yeah. We knew. If you wanted to really see dad and if you wanted time with him, you know, like, which is weird because it's like, we knew that if we asked, he's there. You know, you help us out with school projects and, you know.
Yeah, but what you're saying is more, I like this. It's not like, it wasn't like Saturday's dad shit and no one's allowed to thing. Saturday, this is what I do. But he didn't say, hey, you guys can't join me.
Yeah.
He never said, no, this is my private time. This is my alone time. You're allowed to be there and welcome to be there. But if you want to be here, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, and he taught us how to play, taught us how to play fast. Which was the most important thing. Taught us all the rules. He knew rules that the book didn't know. This guy would like, and he made us play like by the rules every time. And my dad's roommate when he was, I don't know if his roommate or he. So do you know Cleveland Golf, Cleveland Classic Golf. Have you ever heard of that? Okay. Large company, Cleveland Golf. They make the best wedges in the world ever. My dad's roommate in college, Roger Cleveland, ends up starting Cleveland Classic Golf.
Oh, so it wasn't already a family thing then? He did it?
That dude did it.
No shit. Okay. Yeah, I'm not a big golfer, so I don't know that.
I still know the Cleveland family, great family. So because he's with a master golfsmith, I had custom golf clubs that were like four. So like, man, and my dad, nothing made him happier than taking me out to the golf course, having everyone see a dwarf get out of a golf cart. First of all, he taught me two jokes to always use. And it was great. And I use them to this day because guys would see him and I'd get out of the golf cart and be like, oh, Pete, you're playing with your son today. How's his game? And then my dad would always look up and go, well, he can't drive the ball very far, but hell of a short game. Kills.
At your
kills. Yeah. Every time. And the other joke he taught me where someone would come up and go, ah, Pete, playing with your son today. You any good? What's his handicap? My dad would look at him and go, dwarfism, you piece of shit. Killed every time. Still does. I'll say that every time I play golf. So, and yeah, he loved, because whenever I would tee off, a small crowd would form, and then I would hit, and he knew I could hit, and I would, and the guys would go nuts. They'd be like, "Holy shit, kid can play!" So yeah.
So you just get out of that cart and you drive that motherfucker straight as an arrow.
Yeah.
Like, you're driving better than you, Carl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was great. I played golf with my dad until the last time I played golf with him. This is when he was he died at 77. So not an old man.
Not an old man.
But he had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. We found that out later. And so this is when, like, he's starting to get weaker. The last time I played golf with my dad, we played from the same tees, and I beat him straight up.
Had you ever before?
Never.
Never in your whole life?
Never. The last time. And it was almost like.
He's like, my handicap's ALS, you piece of shit. You piece of shit. You're going to do this to me? No mercy, motherfucker. Dude. You're out here. You're getting a beating.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah. And so it was almost like we agreed, like, oh, that's not supposed to happen. Like, I'm not supposed to win. So once I won, it was like, all right, we're not doing that anymore. Which, and to be fair, he
was that the last time you golfed? Or he golfed?
He continued to go by himself. He would go every now and then, but just to get out of the house.
Let's talk about it. What happened? When did you start to see a note? When did he start? Because I had a friend of mine's father was very active, a runner and everything, and then it just took him so fast.
Yeah. So he started about 74, just really 73, 74. He couldn't do it.
Like, what was happening? Like, I'm just curious. What starts happening to your body in the beginning? Like, is
it's just physically, I mean, and so he had a kind of ALS that, like, it's real slow, real slow. So who knows where it started, but you see someone physically start to decline, and part of you just goes, oh, well, they're getting older. It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. We kind of were just like, oh, you know, dad's getting older. But now we're watching 70-year-old fuckers do P90X or whatever the hell, or cut out carbohydrates, and they're jacked. But so that we didn't really think anything of it, and we just knew he was getting a little weaker, but we didn't really think of it. And he had so much other shit. He had skin cancer. He beat skin cancer, but then came back. He had heart issues. He had two fake hips, a fake knee. The dude was like, the dude was a damn tin man. Okay. Like, he had shit. The fact we got him till 77. But one of the things about all of those things is he never wanted us to know how much pain he was in or what he was going through. Very old school mentality that way. So I never knew how bad he had it until the skin cancer stuff. If you watch my special Daddy Issues, which is streaming on Amazon Prime, I talk about it. And there's a moment where, and dude, I'll never forget this. So he had skin cancer and we knew it was bad. I was at the Comedy Works South Club, and I knew that day my dad had gone and gotten a test. He'd been getting treatment, and I knew that today we're finding out he's getting the results. So I'm watching my phone all day, and the show starts. Opening acts are up. Literally, the last guy before me is on stage closing up, and I see my phone ringing. It's my mom, and I know what this call is. So I pick up the phone and I answer it. I go, "Mom," first word she said was, "He's in remission." And I was just, I fell to my knees. Like that loud cry, that like that ugly, wail cry. I'm doing that. And literally as I'm doing that, you hear, "Please welcome Brad Williams." I'm like, "Mother." You know, and it was, if you've ever seen the movie For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner, there's just that moment where you go, "Clear the mechanism," and then you go on stage and you have to fight through it. And that was a show that I brought it up for the first time. I did not talk about my dad's cancer at all. I would start and would just, no, couldn't do it. That was the first time I did. And I did, and the ending of that is the end of the Daddy Issue special. So I'm on stage, I'm shooting my special. We got one shot at this because before I really sold tickets, we busted our ass. We sold out the Alex Theater, Glendale, California, and we got one shot to get this right. And I'm doing all the cancer stuff. Now my dad's in the audience. I know he's in the audience. I know where he's sitting. And in my head, I'm like, "Don't look at him. Do not look at him. You're gonna lose your shit." But I'm doing the bits. And then, of course, just like when you say, "Don't look down," you look down. I looked at him, and I stopped. And in the middle of the set, I start talking to him. And it's the first time I ever really talked to him because he can't respond. I'm on stage.
He's that far, yeah.
Yeah, so like I could see him. I could talk to him. But I got to say all the things that my dad wouldn't really let me say before, because you know it's move on. So like, and the fact that I have that moment on camera, and then God bless this cameraman gets a shot of my dad, because I start building him up, because I start saying thank you, and thank you for doing everything, and thank you for teaching me, and thank you for doing, and I'm gonna be okay, and my dad starts fist pumping, and the cameraman got that, and all that was improvised. I had no idea that I was going to do that. But then once I had eye contact with him, I started like tearing up. And I'm just like, I have to talk. I have to talk to him. I have to address this. And I'm so glad I did. Like, does it suck that he passed away? Of course. But I heard this quote from a podcast personality. Her name is Gina Grad. And she told me this quote. And I love it. It's grief is love with nowhere to go.
Mm.
I love that quote because that's what it is. The reason why you're so sad is because you love this person. And
can't tell him. Can't show him. Can't nothing.
But I also looked at it that way, is now when I'm feeling sad, and the fact that I was sad, obviously, when he passed, that's a reminder that I was very lucky. Very lucky that I had a great dad.
Dude, sitting here listening to these, I can't even believe you got that. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Ever tried to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Mount Everest in flip-flops? Well, here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up. It's about switching up. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety while breaking your habit. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy.
Start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/honeydew and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when they use my code honeydew to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Now, let's get back to the do.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Your daughter. So was did he get to meet your daughter just in time, huh?
So here's the other thing. When the if you ever watched, remember that show Inside the Actor's Studio?
Mm-hmm.
Mike Myers is on it, and they're doing the five questions at the end. And one of the questions is, if heaven exists, what do you want God to say when you get to the pearly gates? And Mike Myers' answer was, he saw it, because his dad died real young and didn't get to see him SNL, didn't get to see Awesome Powers, and didn't get to see it. So he wanted that. I remember that. And I think about it. My dad saw my sister make partner at her accounting firm.
Oh, good.
Saw me do multiple comedy specials, three comedy specials. Met his grandkids, you know, saw them. His last words before he wasn't verbal. His last words were, he looked at my daughter and said, I love her. So he got to see it. He got to see my success. He was proud. I would go over there, and my mom would pull me aside. This is when he was sick, and he would go, and she would tell me, she goes, Brad, he sits there in this bed, and he says, Alexa, play Brad Williams.
Oh.
And he hears the bits. So it's not that I'm proud and I'm lucky that that's my experience, because I can't imagine my dad passing away. And I have friends that this is true for them. Their dads pass away and they go, good riddance. Fuck that old man, you know? I can't imagine that. Like, we're both dads. Can you imagine? You know, that's the goal. My goal is for when I finally go, for my daughter to feel the kind of pain that I felt. I can't believe that's a statement, but it is. I want her to be that sad that, wow, we lost a good one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You strive for that pain. You want. That's a mark, and that's how you remember the person, is that pain. So if you've lost someone and you feel pain, just try to hold on to that pain as a reminder of their existence. And it's a tribute. It truly is. The pain is a tribute to them and what they meant to you.
Yeah. So, I say all the time, for me personally, we did not come up affluent or anything like that. But, and I'm going to ask you this,
mm-hmm.
you know, it wouldn't have mattered to me if we had a swimming pool out back, and it wouldn't have made this loss any easier. Mm-mm. It wouldn't have made it feel. And I mean, honestly, looking back on your life growing up, the man you had versus the things that man gave you.
Yeah.
What mattered the most?
Oh, the man.
Him being who he was.
The man in
the pool out back or the Christmas fucking room. None of that. Really? Right. Is your life any different if you don't have a fucking separate room for one holiday? It wouldn't be.
I
mean, but if he's a piece of shit or absent completely, none of that fucking
now
matters.
Now it's different.
Yeah.
Now it's different. Yeah. So you look at stuff like that, and that's why as a dad who is, thank God, because like, my dad would go on golf trips or business trips or whatever, and it was just like, well, we're gonna get a call at some point, and it's gonna be like 2 minutes because you had to pay by the minute, and long distance was expensive.
Right.
And if the fucker didn't run the air conditioning, you best believe he wasn't having hour long conversations long distance. MCI.
We used to pay for that
shit. Yeah, we used to pay for that shit.
We sure did a lot of money, too.
We have an advantage to where, you know, I can FaceTime. There's been times I get a FaceTime call from my wife on the road, and I'll answer it, or I'll get a text from my wife going, hey, Elway, that's my daughter's name, Broncos fan.
For real?
Yeah.
her birth name, first name, is Elway?
Yeah. Raheem effing Moore. So she'll text me and she'll go, Elway just said, I miss daddy. And I'll be like, cool. I'll stop whatever I do. FaceTime. Let's get that. Let's get that time. And we're very fortunate that we get to do that with our kids.
Oh, thank God. I'd hate it. Like knowing that we have that now. I don't know how my dad did it. He would drive an hour to work one way and back. There's no cell phones, text. They're working. Well, you couldn't call him and chat at the office. He's out there working. You know, it was you got that time when you got that time.
Yeah. And as the partner or whatever, it's just like, all right, your husband, your wife, whatever, just left. What are they doing? You don't know. When are they coming home? You don't know. Figure out, you know, because maybe dad stops off and grabs dinner because he's hungry as shit. Maybe, you know, like, you don't know. So it's very we're living in a good time where we're very fortunate that we're able to do that. Now, I'm going to tell you this because you lost your dad when you were young. Now they're having these like AI shit. I've read articles about this to where you can like submit voicemails, texts, photos, videos, and they can essentially create.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I'm with you.
It just, I don't know. Well, first of all, my dad died before all that shit existed.
Yeah. So, what are you?
So he's done.
Yeah.
But I mean, I hear you. I'm sure you can submit videos, pictures, voices. Yeah. And they craft a little digital image or Obi-Wan down here on you the fucking talk. Table talking and shit like a
you can
like
talk.
A Billy. I've been starting to watch Sopranos over again. They got that Billy Bass, Bass, you know what I'm talking about? Like that thing on your wall. Like that thing on your wall.
He just comes in.
That's on your wall. Your fucking grandma looking at you.
Yeah.
Like,
man. Yeah,
I don't know about that. I think here's the thing, though. I've seen a few videos that, you know, I don't care. I'm an emotional man. I cry a lot.
Sure.
I'll see these videos of like some loved one had passed away and they make him a teddy bear and the teddy bear has a voicemail in it, like a Build-A-Bear, and it's their grandfather, whatever. Yeah. That, I don't know why I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But the fucking, or a full-on replica of me for my daughter and her kids. No. Because think of all the content we've put out.
Yeah.
You could string together any sentence you want that Ryan Sickler said.
Yep.
Or Brad Williams actually said.
Yep.
From all of the thousands of hours of content we've been putting out for, decade or more.
Yeah. So you can, I've got voicemails from my dad. I haven't listened to them.
You do? You haven't listened to one?
No. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this. This
I have
something.
A full podcast episode where I just interviewed my dad. If you go to the About Last Night podcast, that's I did that with Adam Ray. He still does it under the same name. We're not friends. I decided that I once I became a dad, I want more time.
Mm-hmm.
So and podcasts take up a lot of time.
Yeah.
So
I do them by myself.
Yeah. He keeps doing it. So but if you go back, you scroll back, you'll find one with Pete Williams. That's me talking to my dad. I haven't listened to it back. I don't know when I will. I don't know if I'm going to be ready for it. But yeah, I can't even listen to voicemails. And I have them on my phone and I can almost guarantee you that it's just like, hey, son, call me. You know, I'm sure it's that, you know, there's nothing really, there's not going to be a profound word in there. Like, well, let me tell you about the meeting of life. Like it's not going to be that.
Four words and it's going to wreck you for the day.
Yeah, it's going to wreck me. I'm glad I have it.
Yeah.
I like knowing I can. I heard a great comic, Dan Soder, talk on a podcast because he lost his dad young. And he said something that kind of blew me away where he goes, I don't remember what my dad sounded like. I don't remember
his voice.
I was about
to tell you that.
Yeah. Do you?
I don't. I mean, in my mind, I think I do.
Yeah.
But I thought the same thing. This is why. I thought the same thing about my grandmother. And just a few years ago, a cousin of mine that's older than me was like, my mom found this VHS and it's got your grandmom on it at this baby shower. I'm like, oh, I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
So they gave it to me. I got the
converter.
Yep. And I put it in. And she definitely sounded different than I remembered.
Ooh.
For sure.
Okay.
A little pitch, the pitch of her voice was slightly different.
Yeah.
You know, it was her. Obviously, it's her.
Yeah.
But yeah, it had been so long. So I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Because you have this episode of your father. He's probably, I mean, it'll probably always sound the same. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But seeing that and hearing her talk on camera and stuff, I was like, look at my grandma. And yeah, she definitely sounded different. I was like, I'll bet you my dad does on.
I probably will. I'll probably listen to that episode maybe with my daughter, because my dad passed when she was two. So she's not really going to have memories. So that would be something that we probably do together and just telling stories. I heard this quote once and I try to remember it. It's they say you die twice. You die when you die, and then you die when people forget you. So I don't want everyone ever forget, or I want to, you know, keep that going on as long as possible. Obviously, no one's telling me stories about my grand-grand-pop-pop or whatever the heck.
Bro, it's going to happen.
It'll happen.
It's coming.
You know,
I don't care how much we leave behind on digital this and that. It's coming.
It's coming. So that's you know, that. So
I mean, you think about this,
stories.
Right? Yeah. George Washington, these men, Ben Franklin, Abe Lincoln, back then, they were like, they're never going to be forgotten. And they're not, because they're in history. But
yeah,
every day people aren't sitting around going, you know, your great-great-grandfather, Abe Lincoln's. Damn shame he's not here. Nobody gives a fuck.
No one gives a fuck.
That kid doesn't give a fuck.
They're too busy into their own lives.
Give a fuck, yes.
They got shit going on. And that's what you want.
Yeah.
I don't want, you know, my daughter one day to just be sitting there, you know, years after I'm gone, just in a room crying and not recovered because, you know, she's still grieving or whatever. No, I want her to, hey, every now and then just be like, ah, that was a cool thing. And then go do your shit, live your life.
So I want to ask you, sort of like the last day's time you've spent with your father.
Yeah.
So you said around 74 it was sort of diagnosed, and over the course of 3 years it slowly took him like that.
Yeah.
What sort of time were you able to spend near the end? Was he at least home to being taken care of? Was he in a facility?
No, he was home. He was the guy that he's like, no, I paid for this house. I'm dying in this house.
Mm-hmm. So put me in the Christmas room. Yeah, put me in the Christmas room.
Let me in Christmas one more time.
Drag me up to the Christmas room, guys.
It's February, Dad.
Don't give a shit. Fuck. Decorate a tree. Stockings go in the other room, brother.
Yeah. Perfect.
Christmas room.
Christmas room.
I'm dying in that room, goddamn.
I'm going to have so many of your fans. I still have fans from the crab feast.
Hell yeah.
That come up to me and talk to me about the story about me losing my virginity.
I love it.
So,
you have a kid now.
And so I'm sure people will come up
at Christmas,
because I'm still doing meet and greets after the shows. So they'll probably come up and be like, we had a Christmas rumor. Fuck your Christmas rumor.
I want to meet the affluent people out there that had a holiday room. You know, somebody's parents had an Easter room or some bullshit.
Yeah.
So, okay. So he's in the house.
Yeah. He's in the house. It would just be, you know, he became very light sensitive at the end, so he'd have these big black glasses on, but he would come in, we'd sit down, we'd talk, he would take a lot of naps.
So he was still moving around, he wasn't bedridden?
Yeah, he was bedridden at the very end.
The very end.
But, like, you know, because
I know you lose your muscle ability and everything, so he was still walking, though, for a while?
Yeah, so it didn't hit him, we've seen, like, the HBO Real Sports where the guy's in the bed and he has to talk with, like, moving his eyes around. It never got to him like that. But like I said earlier, he just had so many things that it just kind of accelerated everything. But like during COVID, we would still go over there and visit. And then he would, you know, be over there outside and we would be over here. We would still talk. He'd watch my daughter play and stuff. And so we still, that's the thing, is we got that time, man. We got that time. We got to say goodbye. He got to see stuff. And that's like, Here's how much death sucks, Ryan. Obviously, it sucks, but here's how much it sucks. My dad died in his house with my mom by his side. I was in the house as well. I had just gone up to, we knew it was coming.
Oh, so that's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah, we knew so it was coming. There so this. We're there, and we see him. And, you know, like I said, last words were, I love her to his granddaughter. Yeah, like he had his favorite music playing. Like it was you can't write a better storybook ending. And it still sucks.
He's Rolls Royce of deaths.
And you're still just like, this shit. Like, it stinks, you know? And,
man,
yeah. Oh, and then.
If any of us are lucky enough to go like that and not at some gas station or some fuck, you know what I mean? Or in front of your kids.
My fear is that, I don't fear death, Ryan. What I fear is that right before I die, I know it's coming, and I go, you got to be shitting me. Like, that's how I die.
I don't fear death either. I do fear where that shit's going to go.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
not here.
Yeah. It's the ironic deaths of your wife or whatever says, like, we're not going up that hill. Mm-hmm. We're not going up that hill. You're like, we're going up the fucking hill. And then you go.
What's the matter with going up the hill?
And then you go up the hill and there's a mountain lion. You're like, you got to be shitting me. Like this is how it ends. Like, yeah. And by the way, I'm throwing it out right now. Whenever the fuck I go, if Twitter is still around or some version of Twitter, let the jokes fly, people. Let them fly. Mm-hmm. I know they're coming.
Yeah, there's no. We're not avoiding it.
It's fine.
There's people wishing it for us now while we're alive. It ain't gonna be any nicer when we're gone.
Nah, let them fly. It's fine. I definitely. That's what I fear about the ironic death. And here's what I would say, because I don't know if you've learned this of when you have now friends that lose people that are close to them. I know how to be there for them more now because of I knew what helped me. So, like, for me personally, and obviously everyone's different, so who knows, but like, when people would text and say, is there anything I can do, I hate that shit. I hate it. I know it's coming from a good place.
Dude, I've told this story before, but we were kids when our dad died, so everyone showed up from the school.
Yeah.
Like, we had a JV soccer coach that came over, and my brothers and I were just dicks, and we had been tired of the kindness. At some point, you get a little bit, like, annoyed with it because you're like,
yeah,
all right, enough. You know what I mean? We're not a charity case. You know, you just feel like a loser. So
you have to take time and sort of give them what they want,
right?
Which is the moment and the conversation and the thank you and the blah, 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 which is just all right.
So we had a JV coach come up to us because now my mom had left our family, so we don't have parents now, and it's well known in this community that these kids are.
Yeah.
So the coach comes up and we're like, look, next person to ask us if we want something, we should just tell them we want $10,000. And we all get on the same page. Our JV coach comes up to us and he's like, if there's anything my wife and I can do to help you out. I'm like, actually, there is. He's like, what? Name it. And I was like, we could really use about $10,000. And his fucking face. Dude, we started laughing. So my dad's dead in the coffin up there. Yeah. Me and my brothers are in the back laughing so hard. He's like, I thought you guys were serious. I'm like, well, we're not serious.
Yeah, we're not turning it down. Because it's like, all right. So I had a friend who was going to lose someone close. And here's what I did. And you can do whatever version of this works for whatever person. I just texted and I said, hey, don't have to respond. That's the first thing. Don't have to respond. And if someone passes away, here's a tip for y'all. Get a cut and paste message.
In your phone ready.
Because you're going to get a lot of texts. Just like, hey, sorry. And it takes a lot physically and emotionally to text to every single person an individualized, yes, we're doing okay, but cut and paste, just to make that happen. But I just text people, hey, you do not have to respond. Just know that we're thinking
about
you.
Send them a heart emoji.
Yeah, and just know that, you know, you have a lot of love that is around you, and we're here.
I want to ask you this.
Oh, and here, and one more thing. Send food.
Yep, 100%. Listen to me. Send food.
Food.
They don't have to cook, take their time to order things, think about it. They just go home. It's in the fridge.
You're grieving.
And you might not even be hungry, but when you are, it's there. And it's
there.
Yes. 100%. That's my thing, too. Send food.
That is what you'll need.
And money if you got.
Yeah, send food or send money. Send them a Christmas ring.
Food will never go wrong. Yeah. Just send them a bunch of food.
Yep. Send food. That is my tip when they're like, is there anything I can do? Fucking yes. Send food.
I'm sending you a bunch of food.
That's it. Okay. Now, what was the question?
I want to know, before we get you out of here, your daughter's 4 now. So what scares you as a dad most, knowing you don't have your dad as a sounding board and a resource?
Just certain things that I know that he was smarter about than me. Like, when it comes to money, he was very smart. He knew how to invest.
Keep that AC off, man.
We're
on a tight ship, right?
He knew how to, you know, make sure that future generations could have Christmas rooms. He was good with that. I don't know how to do that. When I go to buy a car, I'm like, "What's the price?" They're like, "This." I'm like, "Cool." Like, it's not because I don't know how to negotiate. I'm not a good negotiator.
We also have to know what you're negotiating for, too. Yeah. You can't just be throwing numbers around like it don't work that way.
Yeah. The last car I bought, the guy that I bought it from at the dealership said yes way too fast. And I'm like, fuck. I knew. And that's that stuff where I go, man, he could have really helped out with
that. Has that happened? Had you found yourself wanting to call him or text him or send him a picture or anything?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm doing...
You still not used to it yet? You know what I mean?
I don't think I ever will be.
Yeah.
There will always be those times where you're like, oh, man. Like, dude, like, I'm playing in Nashville. I'm playing the Ryman Auditorium. That's the home of country music. You don't think I want him to be there? I mean, he's not even a fan of country music, but he gets it. He gets what that is. You don't think I want him to see... You know, me on stage and where Johnny Cash used to play. Like, yeah, of course, I want that. I'm playing the theater at the Ace Hotel. It's a beautiful theater. The Ace Hotel is closed and the theater's not, just for that reference. But, like, yeah, I want him to be there for that. I just got a part in a really cool movie that I'll tell you about off camera. I'm not allowed to announce yet. But it's a really cool movie. And I'm doing – and it's definitely a movie that he would have liked to have seen. So it's like – yeah, there will always be those moments. But I just try to be thankful and look back and be like, but he saw so much.
Yeah.
And of course, there's always going to be moments. And, you know, I'll be doing something at age 70 that will probably be really cool as shit. I'll be like, I wish he had seen that. You know, the comedy store will give me some award. Like, yeah, it's the most prolific dwarf comic of all time. Little tiny word. But, yeah, I'll be doing something like that. And I'll be like, yeah, I wish he was there. The thing is like, the other thing that got me is my daughter doesn't have a grandfather now on both my side and my wife's side. So she's got two grandmas that are wonderful, but she doesn't have that. Because I've got stories of my granddad. The one from oil died when I was young. I don't have too many stories of him other than the fact that I still have my tonsils because of him. The doctor said that boy needs his tonsils and his adenoids taken out. And my grandfather went, "You're not taking his tonsils." And all the parents went, "Okay." Like, all right, granddad, you
still have them.
You still got them. I probably got a little bit of apnea because of it.
I wonder, man. I never had my tonsils out, and I have apnea now, and I wonder if it in that damn tonsils back there.
Do the sleep study,
serious,
man.
I did. I have it.
Well, okay.
They tell me my tongue is wide, and it relaxes down in my throat when I sleep, and it clogs my throat. And I'm like, yeah, but if we cut tonsils out, does it open airways up back there, motherfucker?
Can we cut the tongue, the width of the tongue? Something.
I'll shave it down.
Yeah, something like that. But so yeah, I'm sad that my daughter won't get a grandfather in that way. But and it's stuff like where now, I don't know about you, but I'm just trying to make sure everything is in place. Everything is good so that God forbid I'm on that Alaska Airlines flight and that door pops off and poof, there goes Brad.
There goes Brad.
Yeah. if that would definitely be a, you got to be shitting me kind of death.
That would be. You got time to think about it. Yeah, he's got time. I'm dying, motherfucker.
I'm not hitting that great. I'm not going to be like, no way I'm living through this shit. I'm not that iPhone. I'm not going to bounce and be like, cool, so that battery.
No, you're going to be, you're up there for so long.
I'm there for five, six seconds.
Scream your brains out. You're going to be so physically tired. Scream. Then you're going to start thinking like, I'm definitely going to, what am I going to hit? A tree? A grass? What am I going to hit?
Yeah. Can I at least like find a Nazi that I can like run into?
Can I land on a piece of shit person?
Like, can I missile myself in there?
Yeah.
At least, you know, take out somebody. Oh, but yeah, it's if that, God forbid, that happens, I just want to make sure my daughter's okay.
And good. So that's all you can do. I've done that. Everything. Yeah. Living will and trust, life insurance, it's all set. So if I would have dropped last January, she would have been set. I'm glad she ain't set.
Yeah,
I'm glad she ain't set. You know
what
I'm saying?
You know what? That's it's funny. I was watching if you watch the show, it was House of Dragon, the Game of Thrones prequel, whatever that is, Dragon House. I'm not sure what it is.
It's House of Dragon, but Dragon House.
Dragon House sounds like a good reality show. Welcome back to Dragon House. This is your boy LL Cool J. We got 9 dragons. Anyway. But if you watch that, there's a scene. I'm spoil something minor, but there's the old king, and he's hanging on. He's just hanging on. Half his face is fucking gone, and he's hanging on. And then all of a sudden, he gets all of his kids back to the castle for like a meal, and they all kind of tell him like, "Yeah, we're all here. We're all together, and we're all good." And that night, he dies. And I look at that scene, and I go, "I totally get that now." Totally get it. I totally get why you'd be hanging on, just be like, y'all are good? Cool.
Great. Deuces.
That's what I...
Here we go.
Like, obviously, you always want more time, but I just want, you know, my last thoughts to be like, I did it. Cool. They're good.
Yeah.
You know, that... And my dad had that.
He really did.
Everyone was okay. One of the last things he did was put aside, you know, some money for my daughter, and not a crazy amount, but just an amount where you go, that will help, and it's good. So that was one of the last things he did, and that's all I want. I want everyone to be good, unless they're like, you know, snot-nosed piece of shit, then it's like, you're not kidding.
Yeah. All it takes, I say that all the time, too. All it takes is one fucking crackhead asshole to ruin generational wealth. That's all it takes, one. Dude, just thank one. You for coming here and doing this. I really appreciate it.
And this is the first time I've really talked about this.
Thank you.
I knew I was going to talk about it, and this morning I was like, am I ready to do this? I don't know, but I am. And this helped. So this is always good. And the fact that I'm doing it with you makes it a lot easier, because it's like, I'm not doing it on some morning radio show or some asshole's playing a cowbell. Yeah. Oh, Brad does it. Cowbell. It's a dead dad morning and here on the dead dad drive time. 98.5. Dead dad drive. Brad Williams. He's going to be playing the comedy club this weekend. BradWilliamsComedy.com. Tell us more about your father. No, we did not get that. So this is a wonderful place. This is a safe place. And I'm always happy to see you, my friend.
Same, brother. Thank you very much. Please promote everything one more time.
BradWilliamsComedy.com. Those are all the tour dates. Over 70 dates. I'm going. It's almost. I feel like Tom Segura. I'm coming fucking everywhere. All right. And if I'm not coming, wait. We got more shows that we're going to be announcing. We're going to different countries. We got a European and Australian thing coming. So I'm coming. Okay. Look at the website. Look, because. And now this is going to happen because I'm about to say it. But as a comic, the worst thing, you just played a city, and then you get back, you get that message. When are you playing this city that you were just fucking in?
Nonstop.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
So go to that. Watch the new special. The new special is called Starfish. It's on Veeps, V-E-E-P-S. You can get it. And one cool function about Veeps is there's a chat. There's a chat as you stream it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And it stays up there for like, so the past people, so you could go back and see what other people thought, see if anyone says anything racist. Yeah, it's fun. So, you can go there. So veeps.com, the special is called Starfish. Enjoy it. Buy a ticket. See me live. And I'll say this for you. Like, rate, and subscribe to this podcast because keep this thing going.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you very much. And thank you guys as well. As always, Ryan Sickler on your social media, ryansickler.com. Come see me on tour. We'll talk to y'all next week.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.